Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for this 178th edition of New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Emma Talek. Emma grew up all over the place, part of the time in Hampshire in the south of England and in Switzerland between the ages of 9 and 11, with other moves as well. She left the United Kingdom in 1994, and she came to Maine in 2011 and became a citizen of the United States late in 2017. Emma is a jewelry maker who has recently become a creativity coach. She lives in South Portland and works in Portland, Maine. So welcome to New Mainers Speak, Emma.
Thank you, Kate.
You grew up in the south of England, and I wondered if you could describe at least some place in the UK that feels like it's a favorite spot for you for life. I know that you have many impressions from all over the world, but I'd love to hear about something that formed you when you were a kid.
Yeah, so I mean, you said it correctly. I was born in the south of England, but also grew up in the Midlands. But I think one area of England that will always stay close to my heart is Devon and Cornwall, so the southwesterly tip. We often spent summer holidays there. My father was born there, and his family is Cornish. My surname is a Cornish name, and I just feel a particular affinity to that part of the country.
Do you still go back there and visit relatives?
I haven't been back to the UK for many, many years, and I miss it. I would love to go back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right on the coast.
It is, and the weather's not always great, but when the weather is great, the colours down there in that particular area are just amazing and beautiful. So I just like to sit and look over the cliffs and enjoy the views.
Yes, so, how beautiful. Yeah. Those resting places are the places we go to in our minds, right? When life gets harried and we sit down with our cup of tea on the porch and we think, Cornwall.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. So what were you like as a girl? Were you a creative little girl?
Interestingly, I would not say so. My grandparents liked to draw and paint. One of my sisters, I always think is a better painter or very artistic, and she certainly did a lot of that while she was growing up. I never considered myself creative or artistic. I was mediocre at school. So 10 years ago, if someone had said to me, you know, what are your creative talents, I'd have given them a blank stare.
Isn't that funny? Because in the end, that is the sign of a true creative. You let yourself reinvent yourself.
Yeah, I was introduced to art therapy. It wasn't a great time in my life, but, the things that I was working on then, just I was sculpting, and pieces got smaller and smaller and turned into wearable pieces of jewelry. And I felt like, okay, I need to find out more.
I love that. You let yourself be led there.
Yeah.
You followed your instincts.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Was education rigorous for you as a girl when you were... Did you have a lot of arts education in British schools?
No. Sort of pretty standard exposure to art. Nothing special. It was part of every child's curriculum. But I really think, unless you stood out, you kind of went unnoticed.
Yeah.
So unless you really felt artistic and creative in yourself and did something outside of school, then no.
Yeah. So I know that jewelry design and making jewelry is your artistic outlet now. Mm-hmm. I wonder, how long have you been doing that for, and how did that lead you onto your next steps of creative coaching?
So the jewelry design, I guess, time flies. Probably, around 10 years. But I'm completely self-taught. So I've spent many years of trial and error and teaching myself, reading, watching videos, taking some very good workshops, and just trying things out. And only sort of over the last 4 years do I feel that it's taken off, and I feel a lot more confident in my skill and to the work that I'm producing.
It's very beautiful. For you. Listeners who want to look at it, you can see it at emmetallicjewelry.com. Yeah. And I'll hot link to that so people can take a look, because I think when you get to see someone and listen to them, you know, see what they've made, it makes it an even more complete picture. And mm-hmm. your work is gorgeous. It looks very abacus jewelry design. I love it.
Thank you.
And do you have any creative role models these days? Think people that have inspired you to be more yourself and your art become more itself?
I think just being aware of what making jewelry and so the artistic route has done for me. That's kind of my role model. I don't have a particular person. Yes, I do. There are some other jewelry designers who I would, you know, I worship them and I worship their work. And if I have a piece of their work in my hand, then I sort of examine it, would love to put it under the microscope. But it's more just sort of having become aware of what it does for me and sharing that with other people and talking to other people about other artists as well and hearing their stories and sort of this. Yeah, I mean, art is important and creativity is important, so it doesn't have to be what a lot of people, you know, when I talk about art, I think a lot of people think of painting and drawing, and but there are so many mediums and creative outlets that whatever somebody else deems important to them and finds enjoyment doing, then that's their calling.
Yeah. And so what has making this jewelry done for you?
It's certainly boosted my self-confidence. I also know that when I go to my studio, and even if I'm not having such a good day, that all subsides once I start working with my hands. So it's really this therapeutic thing I have, that once I start getting my hands dirty, that just everything else just falls away and I'm in my element, and that's just such a wonderful feeling.
Yes, I think that's the happiness that we all strive for, not yeah. necessarily smiling faces, but that contentment and that getting lost in time because you're doing exactly what you need to be doing in yeah. that moment.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, and I do get lost in time, and, you know, 2 hours have passed and I'm like, oh, I should have gone home, but, and it's still, I'm still in my studio, but, you know, even if it's just 10 minutes that we can find for ourselves, and that's sort of led me then to the coaching aspect, that I want to help other people find their creative self. So, you know, where some people may already know what their artistic interests are, but they've had to put it to one side because there's that thing called life that takes over and sort of robs so much of our time. And people often then think, oh, I don't have time for other stuff. I've got to do this 9 to 5. I've got to, you know, all these other things. But I'm trying to help people understand that we're in control of our own time. I know that's tough, but I want to help people find what they're good at, you know, recognize their talents. And
there's certainly a market for that right now. We all seem to be unspooling like a kite that's not being held, you know, just out into the world with time, and bringing some mindfulness to how we yeah. choose to use our time is really wise.
Yeah, it's just taking that little step back and what do we really want, because we only have one life.
Mm-hmm. So. I have had a poster on the wall of my office for years that is an African proverb that says, if you can walk, you can dance, and if you can talk, you can sing. And I always have wanted to kind of pencil in, and if you can hold a pencil, you can create, hold a tool of any kind, really, a stick in the dirt. It doesn't matter. And I think your story is not uncommon, you know, where children are in school and there's someone else is a fantastic artist, so they think they're not.
Right.
But in fact, they weren't so good with crayon resist, perhaps jewelry, which you never get to touch, might be their thing. You have to stay open to the possibilities.
Yeah, and I mean, so there is a one idol or role model, Sir Ken Robinson, and he does a lot of about talking about education, but basically it's that square peg, round hole. So we may not have been able to find that in school because it wasn't available to us.
Yes, and he is maybe the most viewed TED Talk of all times.
Yes.
He's right up there in the top 10. It's a fabulous lecture.
And he's a very funny man as well.
He is.
Yes.
Nice of him to bring his head along and his body to carry his head. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Emma Talick. She is originally from the south of England. She is a jewelry designer, and now she has evolved into a creative coach. I want to take this in two parts, Emma. First of all, I'm kind of wondering how you define creativity as a creativity coach.
That's a tough one, I think, because creativity means so much to many different people. To me, it's... for me personally, it's being artistic. That's what my creativity is. But it's just allowing yourself to make something and find enjoyment from doing that and then discover where that may take you. So not being afraid to try things. One of my favorite quotes is, if you never try, you'll never know. So losing the fear of trying new things and seeing, do you like it? Do you enjoy it? Because if you do, you're probably likely to be quite good at it as well.
That's an interesting thing, right? That we actually get good at the things we like doing.
Yes.
Willing to put the time in then
but
to master it.
But if we haven't tried those things, if we haven't been exposed to them, then how do we know? And so it's just, just lose that fear. And if you need help to find those things or talk about, you know, what that fear may look like, because we do all have these little gremlins in our head telling us that we're no good, then that's what I want to help people do, that sort of talk to them and help them navigate.
Oh, good. That feeds right into my... That feeds right into my second part of that question, which is, what is a creativity coach?
What is a creativity coach? So there are many coaches. What I say is a creativity coach is because it's my coaching. So what the next creativity coach might do is probably very different.
I think even the idea of coach is relatively new. And it has popped up seemingly across the board from everything from weightlifting to losing weight to wellness and...
finance, and career, business, leadership,
development. Thank you. So coaching can come in many forms.
Yes.
So creativity coaching, as you see it, is...
it's helping somebody find their creative and or artistic talent, helping them recognize that they have a strength, helping them see how they can broadcast that as a skill, and also helps them understand why they're doing it and what are the emotions that they have whilst they're doing it. Why is it important to them? Why does it matter to them? And what is it that they like to do? I then try and encourage people to look at really sort of dig deeper down, you know, what are the feelings, what are their emotions, and to help them become aware of those And that's sort of the type of coaching that I do is this core energy coaching. So it is based on energy that we have inside us, and it's sort of become helping people become aware of those emotions, those energies,
mm-hmm.
and when they are being creative, when they're in that moment, what is going on inside of them. Because so many of us sort of do something and we just do it. We know we like it, but we don't know perhaps why we like it and what is it about it that we like and what is it doing to us inside.
I love that. So first you have to figure out what you resonate with, what resonates with you.
Yes, it's a lot about values, beliefs, and helping others feel that confidence that they're okay. Whoever they are, they're okay. They don't need to change unless they want to change. But it's, as I mentioned before, we all have these little voices in our heads that often remind us that we're not any good and we can't do that. And, you know, we shouldn't be standing up and talking because nobody wants to hear us. But if we want to do it, then we can.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with those gremlins?
There's gremlin work that, and some people like to completely send them off up into space. Other people like to give them another job.
I see.
And just make them understand that, yes, I know you're there, and I know you're there to protect me, but I don't need you right now. I can do this. I've got this. I've even gone so far as to create my own good gremlin, who sort of is on my shoulder and helps me, you know, in those moments where because those gremlin voices are always there and they affect all of us.
That reminds me of the woman who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. Have you seen her TED Talk? Elizabeth, is it Gilbert?
Gilbert.
Yeah?
I haven't seen her TED
Talk. Oh, she talks about how they used to think that you were visited by these, like a spirit, and that would bring creativity, and people weren't expected to generate creativity within themselves. It came from outside, so it was a gift. And when we changed the paradigm and all of a sudden we thought we had to birth the creativity from within ourselves, then we hit these really highs and lows, like, well, I was creative once, but now I'm washed out.
Right.
And she, you know, I like your happy gremlin, who's a little bit of this Dobby house elf, right? Trying to sit on your shoulder and help you through rather than be a negative force.
Yeah, and it just, you know, sort of also is a way to tell those other gremlins, We've got this. You can just
we're good without you. Sit in the back row.
Yeah.
And I like that you define creativity as doing something, making something, because that could be making a fabulous outfit before you go out.
It could be
making dinner.
Yeah.
Creativity comes in so many forms.
Right.
Sure.
It's cooking, music, draw, as in drawing, as in computer, you know, graphic design, anything.
Nice. I love that.
Using ideas, using your ideas and making something.
Say I've been historically a creative person, but then I had a health change and my parents needed more of my attentions and I got busy and then I felt blocked and I no longer seemed able to get started on any of my regular creative projects, but I wanted to get back to making things with my hands like I used to. How would I find your coaching practice, and what might our process of working together look like?
So to find me, I have my website, which is emmataletcoaching.com. I'm also on Facebook. I seem to hang out there quite a bit at the moment. And my email as well. So the work, I would be curious to know why it's important to you that you get back into it. I would want to find out from you why did you like doing it back when you had the time to do it, and then take it from there, and then help you realize that you can get it back. There may be other things that are standing in your way. So these roadblocks, what are those roadblocks? And help you work through those. Gremlins are also roadblocks. But then, you know, there are like your aging parents and the time issue. That's a roadblock. So helping you navigate through those and making, coming up with your decision. It would be, I mean, you're the one that would be doing the work. I facilitate. So it's not about me, it's about you.
And will we meet weekly, or how would we get the work done?
So primarily I like to do coaching on the phone. It enables me to see and hear a lot more, and actually the client as well.
You really get focused on what they're saying, not distracted.
Yeah, and you can hear a lot, or you can see a lot more on the phone. Sort of sounds counterintuitive, but the energy, you can hear the energy in a voice. And whereas if you're face-to-face, it could work. It would also depend on the client. There are other distractions, and that's the important thing to me, that neither of us are distracted.
Yeah.
I will focus entirely on the conversation, and I just like to get rid of any other potential distractions. So on the phone, and then certainly to begin with, once a week, sort of a 45 to 60 minute conversation. And then depending on the package, I typically like to coach for 12 weeks because I believe that that's the length of time that something can really, really happen. And in between our conversations, I have designed worksheets. It's just to keep the momentum and keep it going. It involves time and commitment, but you're committing to yourself once you start doing this work.
Yeah, so would I give myself a homework assignment, say, of just doing a sketch every day and answering some of the questions you've given me? Or
it would be entirely up to you. Yes, that is also part of my coaching. I like to challenge people, so holding you accountable to something. Depending on how you like to be held accountable, some people sort of really need a kick in the rear. Other people are sort of need much less. So that would be up to you to decide and choose and tell me. But yes, so there will be pretty much weekly challenges, or between the calls there'll be challenges and the worksheets as well to help you sort of stay on track.
So in a way it's like a personalized, tailored class.
It's extremely personalized. It's just about you. What I would coach with another person will be entirely different. Maybe a similar program, but the sessions, it's all about you.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who have great talent and don't get a chance to express it enough. It just doesn't get to the top of the list. And maybe making a commitment to it and having somebody to hold you accountable is exactly what they need to make those silk scarves or thumbprint art, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So what inspires you to do this work? I guess you spoke to that a little bit earlier about, you found some peace there and you want to share that with others. But what makes you... It's a lot of work to build websites and get this all going. What do you see?
There are days where I think, oh, what am I doing? I enjoy doing the work because I know that I am reaching people somewhere. And through conversations, and like today, but through other conversations that I have with people and people I meet, and the way they react when I tell them what I'm doing is all positive. And so that's positive feedback for me to keep on going, because I do believe that we all deserve to have that one thing in our life that we're passionate about and that really fulfills us. And so many people don't have that in their life for whatever reason. But we are all allowed to have it. So it's giving yourself permission to do it without feeling guilty. The time thing is an issue. So it's helping people understand that they don't have to feel guilty when they take some time for themselves They are just as important as everyone else on their schedule.
Absolutely. And if you're a whole person, you have so much more to share with all those other loved ones in your life.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I encourage people to understand the emotions that are going on, because that in turn helps them, just as you said, makes them feel a more fulfilled person, a better person, and then they're in a better place to be able to help others.
I think that sounds wonderful. Emma, you are a person who values knowing and expressing your authentic voice, and now you're helping others to do the same. I don't know what could be more important to each of us than becoming ever more the person we were born to be, and that's what you're doing, helping everybody be their true selves. I love that. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please visit us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Emma's chosen for us today. Could you say a couple words about why you chose this song?
I love Nina Simone's voice. She has a difficult life, or she had had, she did have, she's passed now, but I just love her voice, and this particular song, well, it brings back certain memories.
Feeling good from Nina Simone. Thank you.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel.